Good afternoon. I just want to acknowledge my co-authors, Steve Evett, who I guess you got done with what you were doing and made it to the room. And Case Van Babel, who turned 88 this year, and he's still kicking and still contributing to science. This is work that I've been involved for the last couple of years. So to start with, I'll give you a little bit of background and some results and end with some conclusions. As we well know, in 1948, Howard Penman introduced his now very famous equation that is known as the combination balance, the combination method, because he combined the energy balance of the surface with an aerodynamic formula. The genius of Howard Penman was that he was able to give us an explicit solution of ETP based on parameters that could easily be measured. But by doing so, he had to introduce an assumption, and that is a linear assumption between the temperature of the air and the vapor pressure with the slope, and it had to be calculated at the temperature of the air. Because of that assumption, he was able to eliminate the surface temperature, which, as you can imagine, and back in 1948, the radiometers were still in a very primitive stage, and there, that technology was just beginning to be was available. The role of the crop was later recognized by himself in a paper that he presented at Australia in 1952, and it was published in 1953. And he recognized that naturally the canopy of the crop had to influence some role on the calculation of ETC. And he introduced two factors. One was a stomatal factor, and the other one was a day factor. And again, these equations here are just given to you to indication that they're based on parameters, again, that could be easily calculated. Another big influence on this area was done by Monteith, who was able to introduce the concept of surface resistance. He did not call it canopy resistance to start with. He called it the surface resistance. And again, he was able to show how that value could be calculated explicitly from other measurable variables. In 1968, Tanner, reviewing that paper of John Monteith, introduced what we now know as the big leaf model. The implication was that if you have a surface resistance, what that means is that you have a single layer with uniform temperature. And therefore, you hear the term in the literature as the big leaf model, and that's where that reference comes from. The equation as we know it today, as the Penn and Monteith and several of the authors today have used in some of their calculations, is pretty much here in that form. You might find some different variables, but please keep in mind that I will interchangeably use the variables RS and RC to indicate a canopy resistance, although probably technically surface resistance would probably be a more appropriate term. Another classical paper that I think a lot of us that are working in this area should read or at least study is a paper that was published by Milley in 1991. To me, the contribution that Milley did was that he referred to as the Penman-Monteith equation as what he called a first-order solution. And he did a theoretical analysis of the error that would be introduced by this calculation. And he very clearly showed that the relative error, as explained by this value and is given by this equation, is the implications are twofold. Number one is that any calculation of evapotranspiration that is done with a Penman-Monteith type equation can only underestimate ET. It will never overestimate it. And this equation, it becomes zero when the latent is equal to the sensible heat. In other words, the surface of the temperature, the surface temperature is equal to the air temperature. And the value here is the negative value. As you well know, the calculation of RC has taken all forms, from empirical to also is taken that you calculate it from ETP. The implication is if you calculate the canopy resistance from a Penman-Monteith equation, the errors attributed to that calculation are also going to be carried over. almost a parallel to the work that Penman did was the work that the Russian scientist Bujiko did in 1951. It was also a combination method, and however, he called it the complex method. And the only difference between his and the work that Penman did, it was that the surface temperature was found by iteration. So in other words, you put the value of the temperature and you solve it recursively to the energy balance is solved. And that's the only difference. We've taken some of those concepts, and just to show you an example, if you look at a typical summer day in Lubbock, the calculation of the potential value, if you take just the recursive combination method, which is the method of Bujiko, you'll come up with a value, say, of 16 millimeters. If you take that same data set with the Penman equation, you're going to come up with 12 millimeters. Again, it's underestimating it. And the biggest difference here is on the temperature of the surface. The recursive method will yield a lower temperature, which is counterintuitive because of the relationship between the vapor pressure and the air temperature. The question then still remains is, if you have a value of the energy balance, what value of canopy resistance should you assign to do this? And this is some of the work that we've been doing now, and this is what I'm going to be presenting for the next couple of minutes, is that you can actually calculate the canopy resistance from hourly measurements of lysimeter, if you have one, or also from hourly measurements of the radiometer, if you also have it, if you have those data. For doing so, we're using a data set that I think Paul already referred to some of it. This is alfalfa data from 1999 on a well-established alfalfa crop. For the days between 23rd of May and the 12th of September, there was 26 days that there was no equipment failure. It was relatively clear, no rain, and it was the day after irrigation. And those are the data sets that we use in our calculations. The alfalfa, as you can see here, is a well-established crop. Also, the data set corresponded to a crop that was a little bit taller than 50 centimeters, half a meter in crop height. And it was irrigated with a pivot system above a sprinkler. Here are the measurements that were done on a very high frequency of every 6 seconds. It's the air temperature, the humidity, the irradiance, net irradiance, soil heat flux, wind speed, lysimeter mass, and also the canopy temperature with an Everest 4000. So let me just show you, outline the procedures to the calculation of the recursive method, which is relatively simple. You first have to calculate an aerodynamic resistance. We're using this well-known equation here. We have not introduced any stability corrections, but it could be easily done so if need so. And for the calculation of the surface temperature, we use an iterative solution using the software MathCAD. But you could also use it with Excel using Solver, which is a built-in function that you have to load in. It does not come out, it is not loaded on your normal installation. And what you do there here is that you solve the temperature of the surface for different values of the canopy resistance. We use values between 5 and 100. Root is the built-in function in MathCAD that solves for this. So you solve this for every hour of the for every hour of data, for the net irradiance, soil heat flux, air temperature, the dew point, and the wind speed. So let me just give you an example. The 4th of July at 1300 hours, this is the solution that you get from the from TS as a function of RC, and at that corresponding time, the lysimeter has a value of 1.03 millimeters. When you extrapolate that, it gives you a value of the canopy resistance of 32 seconds per meter. You do the same procedure with the temperature. At that same time, for that particular environmental conditions, the radiometer gives a temperature of 28 degrees Celsius, which corresponds to a canopy resistance of 34 seconds per meter, and so forth and so on, and you can do this for every hour. And that's exactly what we did. And let me just give you some examples. Here's the 23rd of May. Here's the canopy resistance. The red line is the canopy resistance obtained from the surface temperature. This is from the lysimeter data. And here's the environmental conditions. Here you get a fairly close agreement. The largest discrepancy is towards the end of the day. On the 26th of June, almost identical environmental conditions, even though this is a clearer day, the wind speed, on average, the wind speed exceeds 5 meters per second. That's Amarillo. It's windy. Here, the discrepancy is a lot larger. So there's no physical reason trying to look at the component of the aerodynamic versus the canopy resistance that I could say why this difference was between those two components. This is probably the worst day where the discrepancy was the largest. For the 11th of August, and again, I'll show you some examples. Here's the relationship between a canopy resistance from the surface temperature and from the radiometer, from the lysimeter. And you can see you get a very good close agreements. Again, the discrepancy is largest at the end of the day. Here's for the 10th of September. Again, the same type of agreement. When you look at over the entire season, this is the value of the average canopy resistance from the lysimeter. And you can see there's really no particular pattern. You might want to say that the canopy resistance on a daily basis is increasing and then is stabilizing, but it's not. There's by the time you take the standard deviation of the mean, you know, really there's no particular pattern. Here's the same analysis from the radiometer data. There is differences from day to day, and the average is not, you know, there's quite a standard, quite a deviation on hourly values. When you look at the comparison for the entire 28 days and only on a daily basis, here's the value that you get from the lysimeter, and here's the value that you get from the radiometer. So for all practical purposes, those values are the same. So on average, it's 45 plus or minus 15 seconds per meter using daily values, not hourly values, daily values. What are the implications of this? And those are my conclusions, is that if you use a recursive combination method, you can calculate the canopy resistance from the lysimeter and the radiometer is pretty much the same when it's calculated on a daily basis. In the absence of lysimeters, which very few people have, the radiometers can be used to obtain the value of canopy resistance, provided that all these other extra parameters are also measured, and they're measured with fairly good, accurate, and well-calibrated instruments. And that is my last slide, and if you have any questions, I will be glad to answer them. Thank you. No, you can't ask questions.
Go back to one of those slides that shows the diagram. This is something, well, that's probably the best case of agreement, but keep going backwards. Something like that.
This is the one.
Something like that.
Yes. This is, you can see the discrepancy here. Say, for example, at noon, the surface temperature yielded a value of 20, and the lysimeter yielded a value of 50.
Well, here's my question, and we haven't discussed this yet, by the way.
I'm being set up, I know that.
But, you know, when we study this stuff in graduate school, a lot of what we hear is physiological reasons why canopy resistance increases towards the end of the day, near sunrise and near sunset.
That's correct.
These data from the lysimeter would tend to suggest that maybe it doesn't actually happen.
That is correct.
Maybe that's involved with errors in the radiation measurement that are actually making it appear to happen. What do you think about that?
Well, you do see a little bit. The largest discrepancy is, but as you show, it's really relatively flat. You know, in the middle of the day, it's the same. You know that stomata are fully open, okay? And the reasoning, you know, we assume that this is a well-established, well-watered crop, and I have no idea what could other parameters were being, and that's why. If you look over here, Steve, that's why I was trying to plot the environmental parameters to see, and I could not see any particular reason. Was it advection? Was it, you know, I could not see any particular reason. So the answer to your question, I do not know. There's been a lot of, in the literature, there have been quite a bit of publications that have act about, you know, due to stomata opening and closing, but the bottom line is that this data does not tend to support that. Paul.
How well did the recursive method perform
versus the standardized pentobarbital?
I did not do that comparison, Paul. I am fully convinced that any method that is based on any modified Penn & Monteith is only going to underestimate it. Okay? As simple as that. It's not that Penn is incorrect. It's still a combination method, but just do an iterative solution. Simple as that. What I do notice, I can tell you, is that in many cases, the standardized ASCE, you get the right answer for the wrong reasons. So physically, it's incorrect.
I don't quarrel with that.
Okay. The physics of the Penman equation, if you introduce a iterative solution, then you don't have to worry about it. And the problem is that that analysis of Milley, it shows that the errors are increased where? Under low dew point conditions and high wind speed. Where does that take place? In areas where we practice irrigation. Okay. Simple as that.
But do you have any plans to actually evaluate the performance of that equation in predicting what the lysimeters actually?
We have submitted that paper to agriculture and forest meteorology, so it's in review. It's been submitted. Yes. Bruce.
Comment that Jensen for the ASCE standard equation is, says that the minimum resistance is 30 during the daytime, so that's kind of in line with what you've got. That's your minimum, but in fact your average is a little higher.
A little bit higher, yes. Yeah. And you can get, you'll get a totally different answer if you do this analysis and you use the Penman equation and calculating the canopy resistance, just using, if you use this equation right here, which is what Erler did with the lysimeters in Phoenix, you're going to get values of canopy resistance of 5 and 10 when it's supposed to be 30 and 40. So it changes that component. But I thought then somebody else had raised a question.
One last question.
Yeah.
Can you ask me for the variation of the resistance you estimate or you calculate during the early stage of the growth season and the middle stage growth season? I saw the big variation during the, you know, the 40 canopy or something, you know. My question is, what's the reasonable estimate during the early?
I guess I went in the wrong direction.
Yeah, the end of the master pool stack.
Did you put the results at the big start back?
Yeah, right, this one.
Yeah.
Which was small variation you in the early stages?
Yeah, there's
at the end of the stage, we also see them relatively small, just roughly.
Yeah, there's a tendency for it to increase. Now, keep in mind that this is a well-watered crop. There's a tendency for it to increase, but, you know, I look at the data, and I see that there's really no particular pattern. I would like to see that there's a pattern. But the beauty of this is that you can take a value of 45 seconds per meter, and you're going to get a fairly good value for the daily value, but not for the hourly value. You have to be careful in your time scale there. Thank you very much.